So in terms of our agenda for today, so those of you who were here yesterday, so you know we wanted to finish up the halacha l'maisa about refuah. We got a little bit sidetracked finishing up some issues about Purim, and we got into some discussion of Purim shpils and the like and the relevant issues. We did find at least one major tzadah shabbat between Purim shpils and the gezeirah of refuah, but other than that, we didn't get that much. Sorry? Hopefully not. For those who would like to know what it was, we'll mention it when it comes up. But hopefully we will finish up today. We still have to finish up these issues of refuah. And we also want to start the malacha of merakid. So the question of what comes first. So I believe, without looking inside, I think there's a Gemara in Suva somewhere. It has a question along those lines, something like "Heitzah merakdim lifnei halacha," what comes first, the halacha or the malacha of merakid? So the question, the Gemara, halacha, akal, or something like that, it's not in front of me right now. So it could be that you could read the Gemara one way, saying "Heitzah merakdim lifnei halacha." So how could you do merakid before you do the halacha? You should do halacha ma'isa first, or you could read it. No, "Heitzah," how should you do things? Merakdim first, lifnei halacha. So it's not really clear. There's not a clear hafara from the Gemara, which it should be. So probably it seems simpler that we should just finish up the halacha l'maaseh from yesterday, and hopefully get into a little bit of merakid today after that. So that's also a good question. So that's a very good point you're bringing up. So the question is, you say, so is it halacha? So the Gemara goes on to say, right, it's machlok be'silum be'shamay. So the question is it halacha kamoshihi? So the halacha is the way it seems? Or is it kala noah v'chasudah? Do we pass him like with Avraham Chaim Noah? And the chasidim who would have followed after him. So that's itself one of the major issues in the halacha l'maisa discussion related to this. And that's a worthwhile point of introduction to bring up. Thank you for introducing that point. It's an important issue. So basically, before we say a few words about the halacha l'maisa here, a few words of introduction about it. First of all, again, we say refuah b'shabbos. Refuah b'shabbos is a very broad topic involving many very serious issues. We're not trying to talk about all of them. We're only trying to talk about the one that's relevant to the gezeirah that's related to tochein that we talked about last week. So we are not going to get into issues of whether or not pikuach nefesh is docha malachas and docha other drabbanans, or even other halachas that may be relevant to a bari, just specifically the halachas that come out of this gezeira of the concern officially of shchichas ha'mamonim. And that in mind, again, as a general introductory word, thank you, Alan, for that question. Do we say halacha kamoshi or halacha k'Avraham Chaim Noah? So that we spent some time talking about that question of Avraham Chaim Noah being the strongest advocate, perhaps, or most well-known strong advocates of the possibility that maybe this gezeira is less relevant today in an era in which we don't make our own medicines. So if I were to ask you, is he accepted l'halacha? He passed away about 60 years ago. Says accepted l'halacha, so same as going like this, meaning probably that maybe we don't accept him 100%, but he's part of the equation, he's a sniff. So the truth is, if you read him carefully, that is accepting him 100%, because that's what he says, right? He says he himself is not sure that that should be the conclusion. He says that this is something that's worth taking into consideration, that it's a sniff. So that being the case, you can phrase it however you want. Either we incorporate his didea into our thinking, or we agree with him 100%, because he himself was only mentioning it as a consideration. But it is a factor that's out there. And, of course, it is relevant to all the issues that we're going to talk about, that at the end of the day, this is a Gzeirah Drabanan and not a Mitzvah Daraisa. So we have already two Netiyas L'Hakel, one, the general Netiyah L'Hakel of any issue Drabanan, and two, the possibility that this Drabanan maybe is somewhat undermined by current circumstances, which, again, we're not ready to land 100% on the side of the case that that's true, but it's at least a consideration that's out there, which also may affect how this is decided. It's also very important to point out that since there are issues of pikuach nefesh that are connected to this question. It's not necessarily, again, what we're talking about today, but it connects to it. And it's very possible for someone to make a wrong call in terms of assessing what's necessary and what's not. So Safek Pikuach Nefesh itself is L'chumra. So any issue where a person thinks that there may be Pikuach Nefesh involved, they're not sure what the condition they have could possibly lead to, and medication is possibly necessary, so we are obligated to go L'chumra in the sense of worrying more about Pikuach Nefesh than not worrying about it. And therefore, that itself, when that's the issue, when you're not sure, maybe this is dangerous, maybe this isn't, so for sure one is obligated to assume that it is dangerous, and one is obligated to, usually, to override Malachos Daraisa and Teres Drabban and the like, but certainly this one. So those are, you know, three general ideas in terms of the attitude towards the Shailas that you see in this case, that you should remember that they are Drabbanan. So since there are many open Sfeikas, as we'll see, there are many controversial issues that continue to be battled out, so Safek Drabbanan Lekula continues to be the case. That this is a Drabbanan where maybe there's an extra Tzav Lekula may also be true. And certainly if we're talking about potential Pikuach Nefesh considerations, that is a Tzad to be Machmir in the consideration of Pikuach Nefesh, and to worry about that more, and to assume that that should be the priority. I think Jonathan was up first, then Sammy.
I think a few places the Gemara discusses places that are like considered Badai. So we have today something that says that science that doesn't make sense. Do we still have to Mechal Shabbos for it?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. It's really a whole different discussion. It's an important discussion to have. It touches upon all kinds of science and the Gemara issues, you know, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, which is itself a big discussion, specifically about the point that you bring up, and just tell you what the issue is without going into it now. So one of the major questions Post can talk about, Bezman Hazeh, has to do if there is a danger to somebody's eye on Shabbos. And the doctors can tell you that they're sure. This is a Gemara in Abadazar and Chazayin and Chavches. You may have seen this a little bit when it comes up, overlapped a little bit with some of the Mar Makomas that we spoke about. So there, let's say that, so in general, it's also Machlokis, whether Sakanas Aver is considered Pikuach Nefesh, but none of that. That's itself a whole separate story. Again, and that's something we're up to today. But if one assumes that Sakanas Aver is not automatically a Pikuach Nefesh situation, so what about Sakanas Ayin? What if somebody's eye is at risk? So the Gemara has a statement in Avodah Zarah that the eye is connected to the body in such a way that it's automatically Pikuach Nefesh. So the person whose eye is at risk, his life is at risk. And today, the doctors could tell you that's not necessarily the case. That Kenzine, they could localize the situation and they could tell you that there's a risk to the eye, but there isn't a risk to the rest of the viability of the person. So should we assume that we don't have the right to follow that Gemara Lekula within that perspective? Should we say that, okay, if you believe Sakanas Aver itself is enough, that's one thing, but if you believe that it has to be Mamish Pikuach Nefesh, so on the one hand, the Gemara is saying that Sakanas Ayin is considered Pikuach Nefesh, but maybe today, maybe that's not true. Maybe we should be more Machmir against the Gemara. So that's a whole discussion, that's a whole debate, and there's a lot to say about that. It's for a different time. So that's connected to what you're asking. But again, it's less connected to what we're concerned about here, which is the issue of the Gzeira of Refua, which we're assuming doesn't apply at all if the person is a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana for sure, probably even a Chola Shein Bo Sakana. So if a person is not sure what category he's in, so that's where Avraham B'chaim Noah said that he thinks that's one of the cases where you should be noted the hakel because of the suffix of the whole thing to begin with. But also certainly if there's a possibility you're bordering on actual physical danger, that itself is a reason to be makel on the Yisr Refua and to be machmer on the fee of Pikuach Nefesh. Is there a question over here before?
No, I just want to say, when Mor says that I need to go ahead, she meant like merely to go Nefesh, or maybe because
So, right, so Iver Echash of Kameis is hard to say that's literally that case, although you find some interesting applications of the idea.
Maybe the Morris meant that iron is such a big thing for the person that it's worth.
Right, so there is some debate about what that means exactly. You know, is it a way of saying, if it didn't mean literally physical death, it would be hard to say that it should be considered Pikuach Nefesh for the purposes of Shabbos, but still, how it's connected is part of the topic of some debate. So, it's a little bit off topic for us just mentioning it in terms of the issue that Jonathan raised. So the whole these questions of Pikuach Nefesh, if the Gemara tells us we should be Machmir, but the Metzias today seems different, should we be machmir, should we have to Gemara to be makel? Should we machmir against the Gemara? So that's somewhat of an open discussion, which, among other major issues, addresses that question. Okay, so now to get into some of the nitty gritty, and it's particularly fascinating because this gezeira, I know this is a gezeira which causes a little difficulty for all of us. It's not an easy one to live with on Shabbos, but here during the week in the Beis Medrash, we can find it more fascinating because it has a lot of fascinating elements to it. We've seen some of them so far in terms of the nature of the gezeira and in terms of the whole question of whether it is indeed a gezeira that can be undone or can be considered to be expired bizman hazeh. But there are a lot of ongoing controversies, as we said, about how this should be interpreted. And we'll look at some of them now. Some of the principles to be aware of from the concepts we discussed last week is one, to be aware of the great importance placed on perception, that if the act is perceived a certain way, that's really where our concern comes into play. And therefore, that which changes the perception tilts things l'kula. And that's a major factor you'll see. You'll also see an issue that the Rishonim had brought up that wasn't explicit into the Gemara, but we saw last week that the Rush and the Rif had introduced the issue of Bahul, the assumption being that the reason we have this Gezeira is because people, as opposed to animals, people will tend to panic when their refuah is at stake, and therefore they will do things that may not otherwise be permitted, may not be permitted at all. And therefore, we have to worry about that state of panic and forbid the whole process of refuah. So the consideration of panic is also sometimes considered by the poskim, as we'll see. Okay, here you're less likely to panic. Here the bahul factor is less. Here it's more. Here's where it makes a difference. Here's where it doesn't. That's also something that you find a big part of the discussion. Okay, so with those introductions, many words of introductions, let's try to talk about some of the nitty-gritty points. So first of all, we already know from the Mishnayos that we saw that anything that's a normal food and drink for a healthy person, so even if you have in mind it's going to make you feel better, so that doesn't make it prohibited. That is, that's considered to be meichel brian. So a person likes chicken soup and he has a sniffle, so the chicken soup's going to make him feel better. Nothing wrong with that. Chicken soup remains a staple of Friday night dinner, regardless of your intent. And that is a basic principle we know from the Mishnah. I just saw an interesting ha'ara about that in the Hebrew ha'aros by Ribiat, and there's the Migdal David. So he just fell to question a second, but he points out we had raised the question a little bit. You know, why should we have this whole gezeira because of tochein? When maybe even if one were to actually be tochein, so then it would still be mutter. Because if you assume like a lot of the Rishonim, not all the Rishonim, but like a lot of the Rishonim, that tochein la'alter is mutter. So since clearly we're dealing with a la'alter situation, you're going to use this right away. That's where the whole panic comes in. It's for immediate use. So we should say that even if you were to actually grind it, it should be mutter. Why are we worried that maybe you'll come to grind it? So apparently, that's not the case. Like the Eglei Tal said backwards, you see from this gezeira that that's not the case. Why that's not the case is a good question. So probably because la'alter is really not about time, but it's about derech achila, and this is not considered to be normal achila. So therefore, even though it would happen immediately, that's not a heter. So just notice that Rabbi Ribiat makes this point in his Migdal David, that maybe that's the nature of the distinction between Michael Vriam and other things. That maybe the whole, or maybe not the whole heter, but we could have said very simply that the heter is that this is not something that looks like refu at all. You're doing, if you have they're serving chicken soup Friday night, and everyone else is just enjoying the chicken soup, and you're also happy that it makes your cold symptoms feel better, so there's no appearance of refu. Everyone's doing the exact same thing. And that's enough reason to be matir. But he also mentions that one could also say, based on this Rashba, that tochen la'alter is mutter, that if we're talking about using normal food for refuah, so then even if you were to grind the food itself, very likely you'd be mutter. So therefore there's less reason to have the gezeira in that case. Maybe we only have to have the gezeira by things that normally involve or could involve ground up medicines. Sammy, you had a question about that?
Yeah. Can you say if the Rashi mentioning that if you're eating something that if you're full and
Well, the importance of that Rashi is that Rashi was coming on the second part of the Mishnah. which doesn't talk about normal food and drink, but talks about something which is kind of in between. The Rashi was commenting on the maid kolim, this type of water which was not normal. So then you have kind of in between territory. Besides the controversy associated with that Rashi, as we saw, but even accepting Rashi, he wasn't talking. Rashi would agree that if it's the chicken soup that everyone loves, then you wouldn't have this issue. Hi.
Isn't the Mishnah Berurah Machmir on that case against the Bihalacha?
The Mishnah Berurah is the Bihalacha.
I know, but the
Sarah Fayyad and then... not necessarily. Yeah, it's not so clear how to conclude on that. But either way, the Rashi is not commenting on this part of the Mishnah. Rashi is commenting on the second part of the Mishnah where we have something a little more unusual.
Right.
But the first part of the Mishnah, that anything that's Michael Bihan, you can have, so the Rashi doesn't throw in over there. If he needs before. So that's the main answer to that question. So another hetter that comes out of the Gemara is that if you have something, if you want to just put a bandage on something for the purposes of protecting it, so that's not called refuah, that's called keeping it safe until you can deal with it later, so that's also permissible. Now you may have seen passages in the Gemara which do talk about a prohibition of putting on a plaster. Although there, the Gemara is addressing a different issue. The Gemara is talking about the bomb that's inside of it. That's a potential meruach issue. It's a whole different type of gzeira. So that's not what we're talking about here. But if you have a dry bandage, so then putting that on, that's not called an act of refuah. That's called an act of protection. And that's what generally emerges, that anything that's there to protect rather than to heal is not considered to be included within the refuah gzeira. So there are those who... seems to expand this in a way that's not so obvious, but maybe I guess is the case. So for example, if somebody wants to keep something from swelling up and he wants to put ice on it, so many say, so that's also in this category because that's about preventing what's going to happen in the future, keeping it where it is rather than making it better, and is mutter for that reason. There may be other reasons to be mekel based on that, but it's an interesting application of that idea. I don't think it's obvious. It's a little bit of an expansion of this idea, because when we talk about protecting, you might think it means, okay, putting a physical protection on top of a wound so that it's not exposed to dirt and the like, as opposed to healing it. Here we're saying actually kind of acting upon the body to keep the body from taking the wound further. So it's a little bit more of a chiddush. I don't know if it's obvious, but nonetheless, that is an expansion that you find in poskim. And again, there are other reasons we make on that also, as we will discuss further. Hi.
According to this, if the only issue would actually be to heal it, then how come you can't say something like painkiller, something that just like symptoms or everything?
Yeah, symptom is also healing. So there's a question that poskim do talk about, that there were those who said, there's some shuvah was written about, for example, about allergy medicine. So Rav Harfenis has a shuvah about that, where he makes that point in the context of being machmir. He says that if you're totally driven crazy, as some of us are, and you're knocked out by your allergies, which happens, that's one thing. But somebody who's just sneezing a little bit and wants to take the allergies, so wants to take medicine for the allergies, so he's a machmir on that. It's interesting. Some other nuances about that are interesting to discuss in itself. Discusses whether or not to cover the Brius issue, the fact that you're sneezing in front of people. On one hand, it's not so fun. On the other hand, everyone does it, so maybe we can't call that a cover the Brius issue. We'll have to get more into the subject of cover the Brius and talk about that a little bit. But in the context of that, he makes your point. He says that, so if maybe you should say it's mutter because you're not going to cure your allergies by taking this. You're just going to stop the symptom of the allergy. The fact that your external indication of having the allergy, that's all you're going to accomplish. And maybe we shouldn't call that refuah, like you say. But he says that's not what this Talmudic usage, that's what refuah means. We're not going to differentiate between a sickness and a symptom. It's all the same thing. You have this problem going on, so you want to try to quiet the problem. That's what we call refuah, even if in modern medicine we can distinguish between symptoms and diseases, and in lumdus we can distinguish between a simen and a siba. But for this purpose, we're not going to mix the two, and they're both considered to be refuahs for this purpose. Are we up for?
I mean, kind of like, no, for any sort of medication, that's, more for maintenance, you have to kind of build up a...
So maintenance, right, so maintenance gets to a whole different discussion, which we'll talk about in a second. But that's not the same thing necessarily as what Jonathan was asking about, the symptoms rather than the sickness itself. The assumption that refuah has to mean healing in the sense of getting it at its root, that we're not necessarily saying. But maintenance, that's a more complicated topic, one of the very controversial issues we'll talk about in a minute. Okay, Sammy.
So with this, would that mean, let's say, somebody sprained their ankle on Shabbos, would they be able to put an ankle brace on it, which isn't necessarily there to heal, rather to make sure that you don't sprain it.
Right, so presumably that is in the same category.
And what about putting your foot up?
Putting your foot up is also not an active before this, actually, you shouldn't. What is it?
Allows the swelling to move away from your ankle and then
keeps it from getting worse. So.
Also.
Right, so presumably there you're also
focused. You're not doing any particular thing?
Yeah, that's also, there are other heterim also that are based on that, as we'll discuss a little bit more other views of the ankle, but I think, it'd be hard to machar on that. Putting your foot down starts a machlokas, that's a whole different story. There are other extensions to this as well, then this idea basically becomes that if you're just chasing away a problem from the outside, so to speak, that's also not called refuah. So you also find, based on the Gemara and the Mishnah Berurah, that to take a splinter out would also not be considered refuah. That's also considered to be keeping an external problem out of the body. So with that, so now to get to Ari's question about maintenance. So there is a major controversy regarding vitamins. And that issue is important, halacha, if you're interested in taking vitamins. But it's also, we saw it to play a big role in the lumdus, because the way the Rav Shechter understood the sugya, which was unique, and it's not necessarily such a consequence of other approaches, but the halacha we mentioned from Rav Shechter last week put tremendous significance on assuming that vitamins are usur, because he's assuming that if you believe that vitamins are usur too, so then you're saying that this was not a gezeirah which took Oneg Shabbos head on. Right? Because the question was relevant that if you have a gezeirah that nullifies, or shouldn't say nullify, but let's say challenges a mitzvah d'oraisa, so then there was a whole consequence that came with that. You'd have to assume that the gezeirah has its reasoning built into it, and then it should be overturned if the time is no longer relevant. So in that context, if you recall, so Rav Shechter said, so you could have said that's true here, that here the gezeirah of refuah goes head to head against Oneg Shabbos. And his conclusion was, no it doesn't. Why doesn't it? Because it's not only about Oneg Shabbos, because it's even usur, even if you're feeling fine, it's usur to take vitamins as well. So, is that true? Apparently on some level, but it is a machlokas. It is a very complicated issue. And one could have said that it shouldn't be a problem. The main mucker that really influenced many to be machmer on this issue was the Magen Avraham, which I think I put on the list this morning, the extra Mufua sources, if you got a chance to see it. If not, maybe you can take a look at it tomorrow. So the Magen Avraham comments on the language of the tour, that the tour says that a bari is not subject to the issur of refua, so he can eat and drink just like a chola can do also, like a bari does. But in that context, the tour has a language which sounds like he means that if you're completely healthy, without any issues, what you can do is eat and drink. And the Magen Avraham reads it as davka, eat and drink. And that if you are healthy, but you have some other reason to take a pill, you're still subject to this gezeirah of refuah. And many read that Magen Avraham as saying that something like a vitamin, therefore, apparently would also be included in this gezeirah. Now, there's a lot of debate about this. Not everyone reads the Torah this way. The Beis Yosef doesn't sound like the Torah reads this way to him. But that language was not meant davka to exclude other types of things that a bari does. And there are a lot who question the Magen Avraham. But the Magen Avraham was very influential, even by those who questioned him, even those who challenged the lumdus of the Magen Avraham. They did worry about this Magen Avraham. And therefore, there are many who feel that vitamins are an issue because of the lashon of Magen Avraham, or they talk about the lachazek mizgo, a person who wants to strengthen his constitution, not necessarily that he's sick, but that he wants to feel even stronger. So there are those who feel that this is a basis to be machmir against vitamins. There are others who disagree. There are others who at least think in Svara there is even more grounds to disagree. For example, Rav Harfenis in Mishnah Shabbos, who also says, Nochal Mahachmir again because of the whole tradition of those who follow the Magen Avraham. So he's not sure that this is really the only way to read things. He says, maybe it should mean that you're going to get stronger right now by taking Popeye spinach pills. But actual spinach again is Michael Bria. But if you're going to take Popeye spinach pills and all of a sudden your muscles are going to pop out, so then maybe that's what he's talking about. But something that's just about long-term health, and you're not sick now and you're not sick later necessarily, and it's just for that purpose. So he thought there was a big svara to say that that's not included in the gzera. Again, even if one does want to be machmir in practice, but he thought there is such a svara. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also thought something similar, a little bit differently. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva to Nigris Moshe Rechaim Chela Gimel Siman Nun Dalet, that he thinks that even the Magen Avraham means that you have somebody who's not sick and who's not feeling bad, but he's weak right now, and he'll feel better because of the nourishment that these vitamins will give him. So maybe that's what he's talking about. But again, if it's just a completely healthy person just taking these for maintenance, so we thought again that there was a svara to say differently, and that's many did at least acknowledge that in svara, even if they in practice maybe were more machmir like the Magen Avraham. But there's a strong svara, first of all, to not accept the Magen Avraham, and also a svara to accept the Magen Avraham but not assume that he's talking about vitamins in the contemporary context. It's interesting to see also some of the svaras that are accepted and aren't accepted. So I saw in some svaram that point out that even if every single person in the world would start taking these vitamins, so you'd say, okay, so then it should be a Michael Brium and it should be fine. So that's not necessarily the case, because maybe Michael Brium is specifically Michael, or a couple other things Gemara talks about, Sicha and Mechitza, other things that are daily type of activities, but maybe pill taking, even if everyone in the world was doing it every day, wouldn't necessarily enter into the equation of Michael Brium, which, by the way, is very consistent with what we said before from Rabbi Ribiat, that even if you want to say that Michael Brium, the whole heter is based on if you were going to grind it right now, it would be mutter because Darach Achila, so maybe if you say pills aren't Darach Achila, you just take them anyway. So then maybe that would be consistent with such an approach. So it's not necessarily the case that it becomes Michael Brian even if everyone were to take these pills. That's one consideration. I saw another svara, I can comment in a second, which I think is a little harder to say, because I think a metzias is questionable, and said that the opposite point is that, oh, but since not everybody does take them, practically speaking, so only some healthy people take these vitamins, so that shows you that there's something weaker about these people than everyone else, and therefore that's what the Magen Avraham is talking about, that there needs to be some type of strengthening happening on Shabbos. So that's a little bit of a question of belief, especially because the main reason why a lot of people don't take them is because they just don't believe in them or they're not motivated by them. A lot of it, as we know, is attitudinal rather than medical in terms of vitamins. So the poll of who takes vitamins and who doesn't, it's not necessarily a reflection of their relative physical conditions as much as it's just a question of a certain attitude towards the taking of vitamins. So I don't know if that really reflects anything, whatever percentage of the population takes it or doesn't take it, about their relative disparity of conditions. I think that's a little bit of a questionable point. No?
Is it the same issue as smoking cigarettes in your
It's really a different issue, you know, there that it's really a whole different issue, that there the question of what, I mean, it's relevant in terms of taking a poll of what percentage of people do something, but there it's probably more relevant what percentage do, and here we're seeing that postgame don't find it incredibly relevant either way, and that even if everyone does it, it's probably still going to not be called Michael Brian, And maybe the fact that only a few people do it should be relevant, but we're suggesting that it's hard to see why that's so relevant. So it's more the issue of polling the population is more relevant in that case than it is in this case. So Harfness has a tshuva where he thinks that if a person is on a diet and therefore he needs to take a nutritional supplement because he's not going to get certain calories, let's say, or certain specific nutrients from his food, so he thought that becomes normal food and that's mutter. Now you could say that's not very different from vitamins, and again, it is going to be a very narrow distinction, but keep in mind that Farfness also probably thinks that Mikra vitamins could be mutter also, but okay, so then he's deferring to the Magen Avraham, but here where it's a straight out nutritional supplement to make up for what you're not eating, so he thought that was mutter. Hi. Right, so they actually, so they are a general makel about that also, about talk about Tums. So it's interesting, so Tums, you have three different attitudes towards, right? So Tums is a calcium supplement, which is also there for heartburn, right? So what you generally see in Svarim about this is that somebody who's taking it because he takes it every day because he needs calcium supplements, so they make go on that. If he's taking it because of heartburn, mild heartburn, which does not knock him out, so that may be problematic because that's probably in the category of a mechish. But if he takes it before he eats the heartburn-inducing food, and he takes it knowing that he's likely to have heartburn later, so then that should be mutter based on this preventative issue that in general, preventative medicine, as we've seen, seems to not be an issue of refuah. So basically three different ways to view Tums, two of which come out l'kula and one may come out l'chumra. Hi.
What about preventative?
So that would be in this category also. But here we're saying that the same condition, that once he has it, it's too late. But if he can, because then it's just the mechish. But if he's doing it to forestall the mechish, which comes later, again, it's a... Right. So you know, it's a little counterintuitive, except that it, within the logic of what we've seen so far about how this area works, and the bohol factor, so a person is not so bohol when he's not dealing with the situation yet. So that's a major part of why there is a difference. And that's again important to keep in mind. Farfness again also has a tshuva where he talks about ketanim, so, and vitamins for ketanim for children. So in general, sorche ketanim are basically considered to be cholim, even if an adult would have a different standard because we're more worried about the overall health of ketanim. So if the doctor tells you the children need specific vitamins, so then that's one thing. Then he thinks that's mutter anyway in terms of the tzorchei ketanim. But let's say you don't have a specific instruction from the doctor, you just happen to want to give your kids vitamins. So should that be mutter? He's also noted l'hakel, but it's a little bit of a less obvious question. He says if you don't have a specific direction from the doctor who's going to make it into tzorchei ketanim. Another point that he makes that's also relevant to this whole consideration and draws on points that we've made already, is that if somebody wants to take vitamin C, let's say, because he knows he's on the verge of a cold, and he wants to prevent the cold, so then building on a number of different stories that we've seen so far, so that, again, there is a lot of room to be makel, and perhaps one should assume l'halacha, that one should be makel. It happens to be in that tshuva, he does invoke the Rav Chaim Noe, the Tzosa Shabbos, Tzosa Shochan, as saying that this is a sniff to take into all considerations, a sniff to stave off the sniffles. So he puts all that together and says, you know, if you're trying to stop a cold from coming, besides the fact that cold can also affect the whole body and can affect, can morph into something worse, but also because of the preventative nature, so if you're taking it because you're afraid a cold is going to come otherwise, so then that's another big tzad b'hokel and presumably big grounds l'kula. It's also, we mentioned before, we talked about the ice, that there are other reasons to be makel. Another reason to be makel is, you may recall last week, so we saw some difficulty, for example, in the language of the Rambam. It's not just the Rambam's fault, but the Gemara has this also. But on the one hand, we know that this gezeira applies even if you're not taking pills, that refuah is not limited to pills. Refuah is something that applies to all types of refuah, even if pills are not involved. And yet, sometimes you find that it seems that that is a basis to be makel. The Rambam seems to say that if no pills are involved, it's mutter, and other places, and the Gemara seems to be saying clearly that if even if no pills are involved, it's still usur. So many assume the halacha, the distinction is basically what kind of a problem is that. If it's a kind of problem that you would or could heal with pills, so then even to address it in other ways that don't involve pills is also included in the gzeira of shchichas almanim. But if it's a type of problem which you never take pills for, which pills are completely not connected to at all, so then there are grounds, lahakel, grounds to assume the gzeira never applied in the first place, and that's perhaps what the Rambam is getting at with some of the examples that he gives where he says it's mutter. And so to a case like that where you're putting the ice on something which is not really something you can address through pills, that's another reason why many assume that's also mutter. Hi.
Is there a problem with the Gemara, with the Hamishavs and the Amr, these three, that's also somewhat treatment?
Yeah, so that's also the kind of thing that you could theoretically use medicine for. So even if you're not using medicine, but anything that's medicine involved is going to be a problem. But if it's something that's completely outside of the whole pill parsha, so then the gzeira doesn't seem to apply. Hi.
Would it depend why you're putting on the ice? Let's say you're putting on the ice because your foot really hurts. So you mean
as a type of aspirin, right? So then maybe it would depend. Yeah, so you're doing it as opposed to painkiller, and as opposed to medicinal painkiller, then it's probably...
Or if you're doing it to take away the swelling. I mean, I don't know what would take away the swelling.
Yeah, that's normally not done with pills.
That's usually,
right,
yeah.
So that's why they generally are makel on that. We raised the question in terms of lumdus we discussed last week, that we tried to figure out what's the nature of saying that this is focused on a bari, right? That the gzeira only applies to a bari and not to a cholesh embo sakana even. Right? So we saw first that it was a machlokas rishonim whether this indeed does not apply to a cholesh ein bo sakana. But lahalacha, we assume that that's the case. It only applies to a bari and doesn't apply to a cholah at all. But within that, we still ask the question, so what does that mean? Does it mean that the gzera only applies to a bari? Or the gzera really applies to everyone? It's just that the kurach nefesh overrides it and the needs of a cholesh ein bo sakana overrides it. So we mentioned one question that we had kind of open. What would you say about a chola she'ein bo sakana, who's allowed to take refuahs for his condition, but he also happens to have an unrelated mechush? So can he now take refuahs for that unrelated mechush because he is also a chola she'ein bo sakana? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this, where he is nota l'hachna. I think others may be makel on this, and I think there are other grounds to be makel. But Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he thinks that this should be asur. He says he's not sure he can prove the point. He says it seems to him that it should be asur. He doesn't have a raya. But then he goes on to say that whatever concern you're going to have, that this may lead to your doing a malacha, so that should apply also all the relevant malacha. Let's say, for example, it would lead to a malacha. Right? So let's say taking care of this mechush would lead to you grinding up pills. So it's not going to be any more mutter to do that for a cholesh ein bo sakana, for that mechush, than it would for anyone else. So therefore, his netiyah is to say that even for this person, it should be asur also. That even for the cholesh ein bo sakana, even though we could allow other drabbanans, let's say, to deal with that choli, but the mechush, no, because the whole gezeira is going to come to something else, and in his case, that would still be a problem if it came to something else. So therefore, we should ask her that. He goes on to say, he says, the one kula he would acknowledge, he says, let's say the refuah that they're doing for his sickness, so it's the same refuah that they would do for the mechush also, so it's just a question of dosage. So the doctor says, you take 1 teaspoon for your choli, and because you have this mechush, take 2 teaspoons. So then he thinks, okay, that's mutter, just to increase the shear of what you're already doing. So that, he doesn't think the gezeira would apply, but a whole different refuah to this person for the mechush, his netiyah is that that is also problematic. I think there's also a svara to say, lahakel, which he doesn't talk about, but if you ask the doctors to what degree this should make a difference, but presumably somebody who's in a situation of choli, so then, since the whole body is one system, so once they're suffering pain elsewhere, the chances that's going to exacerbate the choli are probably significant. So one could probably see all of the conditions as connected to his illness. And again, I just think that's a svara to consider. You could ask the doctors what they think about that. Okay, so in general, in addition to the whole preventative issue that we're talking about, so just on top of that, so the Ramban expresses in the Taurus Adam that if there are certain conditions which a person would then be allowed to take refuas, let's say chole, for sure chole sheyesh bo sakana, so that it also follows and should be self-evident that anything you're going to take so that you don't become a chole sheyesh bo sakana is also permissible. So even if you're not that yet, but you could become that if you don't take this pill, so that's also where you find a heter as well. There is also a discussion, so it's generally assumed that physical therapy is also considered to be the geder refuah. So strenuous exercise or a strong massage. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that that's an issue. Massage b'koach. Many assume, not everyone, but there's a strong opinion like this, many assume that that is davka b'koach in order to exclude a light massage. So a light massage, it doesn't use a lot of pressure. Many assume, it sounds like this from the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like this from Magen Avraham, many assume that that is mutter, and that the type of massage that is considered to be a refuah is where it really involves a lot of strength and pressure in a unusual way, where you normally need a professional for. Not that only professionals do this, but that's different than the normal soft massage. Hi.
So you're doing stretches, like physical therapy is stretches. It's not any, it's not a workout or anything like that. It's not a big massage. So
yeah, so you get into a little bit of a gray area because of this distinction between light and heavy. But I think both in terms of your body movements and in terms of what people are doing to you, you find that distinction. So, for example, while jogging for refuah would be a problematic issue, the Gemara talked about that in terms of the Behema, but taking a walk, which is what everyone does on Shabbos, would not be considered to do this, even if you're doing this specifically with health in mind. So presumably also when you come to the stretches, it's a little bit subjective what's considered to be heavy and what's considered to be light. That would presumably be the guiding point. It's also worth mentioning that the Gemara has in the beginning of the Masechet Brachos in terms of jogging, that there's also a stamina issue of running on Shabbos, separate from refuah, that what's called psia gasa, if somebody is running quickly, so that's considered to be not the normal proper way of walking around on Shabbos. It's the chol, it's not in keeping with Shabbos atmosphere in general, except if it's for a Dvar Mitzvah. So it's interesting because it's not really our topic, but that Gemara in the beginning of Brachos talks about this. So you would think that there's different things. There's a Chilul Shabbos, which is a Malacha, and there are things that are not Malachos, but are Ugdi Dachal more inappropriate. So this would seemingly be in that category. There's no Malacha involved in running. But the language, I guess, is, I could assume it's not precise, but if I recall correctly, the language of the Gemara in the first part of Brachos, where the point is made that it's mutter for Dvar Mitzvah, that one's allowed to run, so the context is that somebody was surprised that he saw people running to a shir on Shabbos, he thought that was wrong, until he was told it was mutter for Dvar Mitzvah. So the Havamin in the Gemara is expressed, I thought, kamachal le Rabbanon Shabbos, I thought the Rabbanon were being machal Shabbos. So in fact that no, they weren't being machal Shabbos because it was for Dvar Mitzvah, but the language, presumably it's not precise, I don't think... And would say it's a malacha, that's we usually use the language of Chilul Shabbos, but that it's not in keeping with Shabbos atmosphere. And that is its own type of prohibition, so that would be relevant to jogging as well. So one of the other major controversial issues in Hilchos Refuah, and this is where there's a lot of discussion in terms of the history of halacha, I think there are a lot of complexities to figure out. So it's based on a Gemara on Daf Kufches and Medbeis, in Shabbos, and I think I put it on the additional Marmar Komos this morning. If not, you could look at it now. So there is a line here towards the bottom of Kufches and Mubeis where the Gemara says, Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, Shora Adam Kilurin Me'erev Shabbos, V'nosen Al Gaveinav B'Shabbos. That you have this special salve that goes on the eyes, so it has to be soaked in water. So the Gemara has this statement here that this can be done from Erev Shabbos and then can be put on Shabbos. The soaked in water on Erev Shabbos, and then you can put it on Shabbos. So this is cited in the context of a major discussion that many assume that if you have a shinui that is being done, again, remember that the major issue is perception. So if you're doing the refuah with a shinui, you're doing, let's say you're going to mix it into water, you're going to mix it into a drink, so that shinui makes it permissible. And in some cases, it's connected to this Gemara over here, which talks about soaking something in water from Erev Shabbos and putting it on. So many quote the Tshuvas Mishpatei Tzadik, which is a 17th century sefer. It's written by Rav Shmuel Germazin. And he expresses the yesod there, and just what exactly he says and doesn't say is very relevant, because it's a major machlokus about some of the details about this. So many assume that there is this heter of a shinoi, let's say, to mix it into food. But they also assume that you davka have to do it before Shabbos. So that makes it much more tricky, because usually the nature of a mechush is you're not going to know specifically that it's going to come up before Shabbos. So the chances that you happen to have prepared for this before Shabbos, it comes up in some cases, but to probably most of the cases, it's not going to help so much. So there's a lot to argue about this position, a lot of arguments about this position. So first of all, is it the case that it has to be done before Shabbos, if you assume this kula exists? So if you look, for example, in Rabbi Ribiat's book, he keeps saying this is only if you do it Erev Shabbos. Right? He says, mutter, do it this way if you did it before Shabbos. There are maybe those who disagree. Some point out, for example, the Minchas Yitzchak, when he talks about such a kula, so he says, befrak, especially if you did it Erev Shabbos. And Rav Harfenis, for example, notes that it sounds like if it came up on Shabbos and you couldn't do it before Shabbos, you could do it on Shabbos as well. So if the situation just comes up on Shabbos. And it's very interesting, there's not much discussion about this, but if you look in the Mishpatei Tzedek, which you can all do, because HebrewBooks.org, so I would strongly recommend looking at it, it's very interesting. So the Tshuvas Mishpatei Tzedek is Siman Mem, you can find it, it's the only sefer on that title on HebrewBooks.org, and don't get scared off by the cover where it looks like it's in very old print, but once you look inside, it's in nice block letters and you can read it clearly. So he discusses, and he's again the source that many later Svarim draw on for this heter. So he says basically as the Yesod, he says that anything that is different, so that's a hecker, right? Anything that you're doing in an unusual way, so that should save you from the concern the Chazal have of Mishum Shchita Samemonin. So you don't have to worry about that, because since you're going out of your way to do it in an unusual fashion, so that's going to serve as a hecker. That's the basis of what he believes. He thinks that that is the case, that there is such a heter. Now, here's the rub. So he says in the title of the tshuva, he says, so if you say that you're allowed to do this, so then he has a language, something like if it's mutter to mix it up, be'erev Shabbos o b'Shabbos. So he asks that question in the title. And in the tshuva itself, he doesn't really answer it. So he kind of leaves you hanging. He raises the issue about whether it's permissible to do this on Shabbos itself, or only specifically from Erev Shabbos, and he doesn't really seem to address it. So again, a lot of the later literature basing itself on the heter of the Mishpatei Tzedek, but what exactly the application is to Erev Shabbos, Shabbos specifically, a very important issue again, because very often you're only going to think of this on Shabbos, so somewhat of an open question here. One of the major Makoros promising to address it and not really doing that, which is the mucker for us to say we'll get to something in one day and we don't, but I don't know if he gets to it anywhere else. So it's a short tshuva. He doesn't actually address it. Now, he does address something else, which is interesting from a lumdisha perspective. He says that maybe you should say that this should be mutter if it happens to be that medicine got mixed in with food or drink. But maybe we shouldn't let you do it, not because of Shabbos, but because we have a principle, aim the va'al and isser l'chachila, right? So we know that in Yeridaya, so if you have an isser, a small amount of milk gets mixed into 60 times as much meat, so then that's considered to be bittul, and it's mutter. But you're not supposed to do that l'chatchila. You can't decide, well, this would be great if I had a drop of milk in it, so I'll put less than a 1/60 of milk inside and be mevakle. So that's normally not allowed. So should we say this here? What do you think? Should we say, should we apply this here? Is it similar? Sammy?
I think it's called violent. This would probably refer to the cigar ice.
Maybe.
Still on purpose.
Yeah. Right, still on purpose, but he's saying that maybe the whole issue to do it on purpose may only apply to an issue deraisa. So that may or may not be true. Right, but go on, second of all.
Second of all, the fact that you're being mevatel maybe it's hefer.
Oh, so then you're saying that it's not, I think what you're saying,
meaning
is that
the hezer of refua is only a problem as long as you, meaning there's a rashi, right, that says that if there's a hecker, so then it's mutter. So if
right.
you're doing it at the derech that's not normal, which is a hecker, and therefore there's no isser. It's not that you're being mevatel the isser like through bittul and things like that. It's that there is no isser by doing
right.
this.
So I think you're correct. I think that and that's basically his maskana also, right? It's a combination of a couple things. That one, this is not a cheftishal isser. This is not a prohibited substance. It's a substance that you're not supposed to use on Shabbos, and maybe you could use it in certain circumstances. So it's hard to call it an isser that needs bittul in order to be permissible. And Sammy's other point, that it's not that you're creating heter through nullification. It's that this is a heker. So this heker is not something that has to dafka be with the oven. It can perhaps be l'chachila as well. And that's pretty much what he says, that there's no isser to create this bittul. So, again, he doesn't answer his Erev Shabbos question. But he does leave it that he kind of asks, okay, does this mixture work? And he says the mixture works. And then he says, so can you do it on Shabbos and on Shabbos or only on Erev Shabbos? And somewhat gets into the question of can you do it, kind of getting distracted to the bittul hachila question, but his maskana seems to be lahakel and everything. So can you therefore understand it to mean that he's makel on Shabbos also? Again, this is somewhat of an open question. Hi.
Does everybody agree with this hecker idea?
No.
There's a Tosos earlier in the Masech, we saw it doesn't, that explains the Gemara differently.
Correct.
So
Rav Moshe Feinstein also has a tshuva where he's more machmer on this. He does not understand the hecker idea like this. He says that this idea, what the Gemara is talking about, is not saying this is mutter because you mixed it in water. He's saying this whole kilurim thing, whatever this eye medicine is this is something which would not necessarily involve any melachos, but because the preparation takes place before Shabbos, that's what makes it mutter, that's what itself serves as the hecker. But this idea that mixing medicine into food creates some hecker that makes it mutter, so he doesn't think that's correct. So he's much more machmer on this. So the middle position that many have, and this is the way, for example, Rabbi Ribiat expresses it in the middle way, that this works as long as you do it before Shabbos. But one can take a position either l'hakil or l'hachmir from this. One could take Ramosha's position that it doesn't even work Erev Shabbos. Or one could take a more makel position and say it even works on Shabbos. Yeah, what's bothering?
Moshe says it doesn't work.
He says this idea of mixing medicine into food, right, is not an acceptable approach. Right. Right. So just because you did it before Shabbos doesn't make a difference. This Gemara is talking about something else. So again, the common position that Rabbi Ribiat and others maintain is the middle ground here, that if you mix it before Shabbos, that is an acceptable hecker. And there are positions, l'chumra and l'kula, that the Moshe's position that it doesn't even work into that circumstance, and others who would say you could do this even on Shabbos itself. And probably the Minchas Yitzchak, for example, in between, maybe if that diak is appropriate, saying that ideally, if you do it before Shabbos, that definitely helps. If you are stuck in the situation on Shabbos, it could possibly work as well. Rav Harfenis has a tshuva where he talks about shinoi in general, and he says somebody who is in Sar, but doesn't necessarily reach the threshold where Trufas or Mutter, so he's not Choli Kalduf or Nofel and Mishkim or the like, so he recommends a Shinoi. But again, it's a little difficult if a Shinoi of mixing food has to be Erev Shabbos, which you can make on this, but if that's not the case, so then what do we mean by a Shinoi that you're going to do on Shabbos? So he talks about wrapping it up in some paper or something like that, which ironically that's what a tablet is, so it's not really a shinui. A tablet is medicine wrapped up in a covering. Tablet as opposed to pill, right, I know, but the tablets are made with external coverings that are not really part of the medicine. But okay, so fine, so maybe if you do it in some abnormal way, so then that shinui again should make it acceptable. So that shinui issue, as we saw, is one of the major controversial issues. Right, so far we've mentioned a lot of things that are not so controversial. The major controversial things we've seen so far are vitamins and shinui, where things get a little bit more controversial. The next very controversial issue is there a heter if you have something that is going on for a number of days, which also draws from this Gemara and from other Gemaras. So if you have a regimen that's going on for a number of days and includes Shabbos, so should it be permissible to continue that on Shabbos itself? So here there were many who were makel. Rav Shlomo Kluger is among the early authorities cited in the Marsham disagreeing. But many of the great Gedolim were makel. Others were not so sure. Rav Moshe wasn't so sure. I think Rav Shechter is not so into this either. Rav Willig's not so into this. There is somewhat of a machlokas about this. The Stipler, the Sefer Ochas Rebbeinu Balakilas Yaakov, a quote from the Chazon Ish, who was makel on this, even if the first day is Shabbos, not just that it started from before, but it's a multi-day process that includes Shabbos. That's a bigger chiddush. That's harder to ground in some of the earlier sources. But there are many who are makel something that's going on from an earlier time and including Shabbos, so this is somewhat of a controversial heter, but it's also a heter that's out there. So this is an interesting discussion of itself. So why do you think that is? What's the basis of such a heter? Why should we say that if something's going on for a number of days, Makoros aside, you know, aside from how you might read the Gemara and might not read the Gemara, but just Svara-wise, why should it be? So, Jonathan?
So you can say that because you need several doses of something that works, so then this one isn't healing you, so therefore it's not really therefore.
Okay, so some say like that. That is one of the Svaras, that maybe you could say this is by itself not considered a refuah because it only works together with a package of everything else. Now, that may not be the whole answer. That might tell you that, okay, so if that's the case, so therefore what? So since it's not a refuah,
so
maybe Stama shouldn't be under the Gzeira. But you could say, like that Tzitz Eliezer says, that therefore maybe there's no Bohol factor. Right? Remember we said that the issue of Bohol also factors into a lot of the approaches here. So maybe a person is only Bohol when he thinks that, okay, he can take this pill and this will solve his problem. But if he knows it's not going to solve his problems because he has to still take pills tomorrow, he had to take pills yesterday, so then that's not necessarily going to be within this category. What else? Can you think of other svaras to be makel?
You just said,
oh, so you see, that's part of what I wanted to wait till after we said the svaras, because in practice, it's also, even if one doesn't accept this kula by itself, so it's usually going to be the case that there are a lot of other issues. So, for example, a person taking antibiotics. So antibiotics usually address more serious issues. And so you need to take antibiotics anyway. So the fact that the antibiotic is spread out over 10 days, that's great, but that's probably not the only reason why it's mutter. So a situation where it's pikuach nefesh, of course, that is the case. So part of the issue is the shaila really only applies to a very narrow kind of situation, an ongoing situation which is only a mechish, which itself is somewhat of a narrow type of situation. Sorry? That could also be, I guess it depends, you have to ask the doctor how he addressed the sinus infection. But so there are often other stadim lahakil. But I guess just that's one of the svaras that is also invoked. And Rabbi Bleich has this svar in an article that I will mention in a little while, and other svarim have this svar as well, that the fact that it's going on for more than a day puts it in a category that's not called a mechush. That a mechush, by its very nature, is a more temporary condition, and if it's something that needs so many days of treatment, so then already that's an indication that it's not mechush. So that's like a... Sorry? But not necessarily, it's somewhere in between. I don't know if you would necessarily, I mean, again, the definition is going to be a little bit vague, because we also, the halacha, don't assume you have to actually be a chol hashem b'sarkani, it could also be a nofel
mishkat. So, you mean not nofel mishkat?
or what does Nofel Mishkav mean? You know, so that's, we'll also see if we have time, we're almost running out of time, that Nofel Mishkav also doesn't have to mean you are actually Nofel Mishkav. It could be that if you overcome your need to be Nofel Mishkav because you have to go to work, let's say to use a standard during the week, or because missing shul is such a avla for you, so you're going to go to shul even though you'd rather be Nofel Mishkav, that might also be called Nofel Mishkav. So, how exactly we define what's called a meichesh and what's not. So there are some who say, and this is the svar that they play flights, and others have this approach as well, that the Parfumist has this approach also, that that itself is an indication that it's not a meichesh. That's just the flip side of what Dan was saying, that, oh, it's pikuach nefesh, so it should be mutter, so yeah, it's pikuach nefesh for sure. But, and you're right, that many, many cases where there is an extended treatment and it means something more serious is going on, so some say that that's the reverse logic here, that the fact that it's going on shows you it's not in the category of something that should be included in the prohibition. And there are others who say, that just to mention a third svara, that, which seems a little bit based on this Gemara here, that because you're taking it for a few days already, so then just like the Shorah Kiloran Mer of Shabbos, the preparation that's done before Shabbos, so here there's no tzad to say that we have to worry about a malacha being done for this because it had to be prepared before Shabbos because you've been doing it for days anyway. So that itself is somewhat of a heker. So basically, it's just interesting to take note of. So this heter is somewhat of a controversial heter, but the three svaras that we just said to explain it really address three different aspects of this issur. So it's really worth paying attention to that in terms of the lumdus of how halacha lemaisa is applied. So we know this applies specifically to a bari with a meichesh. So one svar is this is not called a bari with a meichesh if that's the case. We know that this is out of a concern that's going to lead to a malacha. So some say that the malacha is not relevant because it's a heker because it's done before Shabbos. And then it's at Eliezer's point, which is a little more subtle, that the bahul factor, which is considered to by the Rishonim to be relevant in bringing about the malacha, so maybe the bahul factor is minimized if you know that this is not going to bring you immediate relief anyway. So that's again, an interesting point, more about what it shows, even separately from the practice. And again, you have to have a pretty narrow situation where this is going to come up and it doesn't draw on any other heter. But there are some examples, and if that's the case, so this is a subject of machlokas. Ramosha does also point out in his tshuva where he's more machmir about this, but again, this is another example of drawing on other factors, that if you're afraid, if you don't take this, you're going to get into a situation where you're no filamishkav, so then that itself, again, is a reason to take it before you get to that stage. And therefore, we would allow a multi-pill, multi-day regimen under that understanding as well. But again, that would already draw on other heterim also. Okay, so just maybe we're almost out of time. So we'll probably start Meraki tomorrow. Just mention quickly a few other details that are discussed by Poskim, just to be aware of. And then we'll pick up on, we'll start Meraki tomorrow. So some of the other issues that Poskim talk about is many poskim assume that sleeping pills are mutter, are not considered to be included in this gezeira. That's the way that Tzitz Eliezer assumes and the way that Tzitz HaShulchan assumes. There's increasing literature saying they're dangerous, so that's a different thing to think about. But in terms of whether it's under the isser of refuah, so many assume that is permissible. Tranquilizers are interestingly the opposite side. I mean, I thought tranquilizer stimulators, so stimulants, so somebody who's going to take something to stay awake as opposed to fall asleep, so that there is more of a machlokus about, that there are those who feel that I guess the grogginess that you have is a type of mechush, and therefore to take a stimulant to overcome that grogginess is included in the gzeira, while apparently insomnia is not. Yes, sir?
So then coffee?
No, so coffee is machlobrin.
No. The only reason they're taking is because they're tired.
No, but again, but the coffee is something that everybody else is drinking, so then even if you're a kavana, coffee is in the first category. Coffee, you know, millions of people all over the world are having every day without a second thought.
It's only because they're tired.
Not necessarily. There are a lot of people who like coffee. Starbucks does very well, even though people could get the caffeine elsewhere. Yeah, it's they. you know, this is maybe the way they do that, but still, I know how people get from coffee is not.
Is that my favorite drink?
There you go. We could take a poll. I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but you can take a poll that there are a lot of people who drink it because they enjoy it. So that's, I think, nobody would disagree that's considered to be a mindful brew, like everything else. Aspirin, most are machmir under normal circumstances, even though there is a little bit of a machlokus about that also. And just to mention two issues that are really only relevant to married people. So in terms of birth control pills, so Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says that's not an issur before on Shabbos. Doesn't go into the svara. He's more interested in the Yevamos unity issue. He's more interested in the contraception issue. It's also Yevamos unity and current events issue. So he's more interested in the contraceptive points rather than the Hilchos Shabbos points. But he does mention that he's, without going into it, that there's no isser in terms of refuah involved there. And the Reb Leif, the article we mentioned before, so he has an article in tradition about Viagra, which is interesting, even if that specific shaila is not necessarily of interest. But in the context of talking about that, so he reviews an article that was in Asya Journal, which was Makel. And he goes through all the svaras, so it's a very interesting English discussion of some of the different kulas that are suggested. And he talks about the pros and cons of a number of issues, some of the issues that we've talked about so far today, so it's worth reading for that reason. In the end, he doesn't think most of them apply. His maskana is that most svaras end up being makel on this, and therefore he thinks that there is what to rely on. The svar he seems to like best is the idea of makom mitzvah, that the makom mitzvah heter is more of a reason to dispense with the issur d'rabbanan than any of the other svaras. But his netiyah, again, in the end, is to be makel. But in the course of getting to there, he talks about a lot of different svaras in this whole gezeirah in general, often to not think that they're relevant to that specific case. Hi. Right, so if a person is no full of mishka, if a person, you know, really can't function, that he just is going to collapse, so then that already is a heter. So there is some subjectivity involved in that. And as we said, that's one of the areas where Rav Chaim Noah thinks you have the right to be no to lahakil in the judgment of whether you're in the category of a person who deserves it or not. So that's where he says, he gives us an example of where you should be makel based on his svara. It's also, as I alluded to a minute ago, Rav Harfenis has an interesting tshuva. It's interesting to read just because of the detail he goes into, where he talks about the different reasons why people maybe really are no full of mishkos but don't go to bed. So he talks about how a person goes to shul and he goes in because Kriyas HaTorah is so important to him. He goes into all the details in case you need to have background. There's or a person goes to shul because his kids are going to go without him and they're going to wander around and not going to behave properly, so therefore he feels that even though he'd rather stay in bed, he's going to come. So he discusses there are various reasons why a person may theoretically be no full of mishkav and may not actually be lying down in bed. So that he feels is still called no full of mishkav, but it's more of an indication of the condition. And therefore that comes up a lot. I mean, admittedly, on Shabbos it's a hard call to make because most people, if they're not shul rabbis, most people have a little more flexibility in their schedule on Shabbos than they do during the week. So during the week, okay, so if they have a little bit of a headache, they'll go to work. And if they have a terrible headache, they'll call in sick. So then if that's the standard, we could say, all right, so then if you're at the level, well, you'll call in sick, so then you're no full of mishka. But that's the point that he's making, that sometimes you override this. Sometimes, you know, you really want to call in sick, but you have a big deal that's going to fall through. Or sometimes it's up against different kinds of things, so it's not necessarily a perfect indication. So on Shabbos, it's a little bit more complicated also, because, say on Shabbos, somebody's always trying to decide, okay, so will I take a nap, or will I learn now? So if he's got a headache, okay, that's going to tilt it in favor of taking a nap. While during the week, he doesn't necessarily always have the flexibility to take a nap whenever he wants. But on Shabbos, he's going to be pushed over the edge to say, I can't function, a little bit more easily. So that does make things a little bit murky, make things a little bit confusing. I think somebody asked me about the Bittul Torah consideration, so it's an interesting issue also. You don't find that discussed so much, but it would seem to be that that's also the Makom Mitzvah issue, if a person really can't learn. I think there is a big svara to say that that also should be a tzad l'hakel. I have heard poskim express that out of concern for this gezeira, that if a person can take a nap rather than have to take a pill, better they should take a nap. But I could see a story the other way also. If a person could be learning otherwise, especially if a person could be giving a shir otherwise, would be giving a shir, so that in addition to the straight mitzvah Talmud Torah angle, so then you have the rabbin tzrichim lo consideration, which is also sometimes a factor in dinim d'rabbanan, and it's fair to say that that should play a role here as well. So a lot of subjectivity, a lot of borderline cases, but it does draw, I think, a fascinating way on many different principles. And just maybe quickly review some of the key principles that we spoke about. So we said that anything that is preventative, anything that is about keeping things the way they are, or about keeping something from coming later, so that there's a broadly applied attitude of heter towards. Anything that is a normal way of eating and the like, Michael Brian, so that already from the Gemara we find the heter. We find some areas of controversy, the question of vitamins, mostly because the Magen Avraham, who was medayik in the language of the tour, that a bari is not entitled to do everything, and therefore maybe he's not entitled to take a pill to strengthen his constitution. And we saw that it was controversial, that there were those who disagreed with the Magen Avraham, at least in theory, if not in practice, or there were those who said the Magen Avraham might be right, but he's not talking about normal vitamins, he's talking about where it'll make you feel better now, or you're feeling weak now, two different versions of the same idea. So vitamins remain controversial, and we mentioned that have a lot of theoretical relevance to the approach that Rav Schechter had articulated that we mentioned last week. The issue of shinoi, also controversial. Again, we mentioned the kind of centrist opinion that's often put forward, that if you mix it from before Shabbos and it's mutter to take on Shabbos, even though there is a position both the kula and the chumra of that, that that's not mutter, or that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos itself. And we saw that the question of taking a pill for a number of days, something that's going on for a long period of time, so that there are many who are makel and a few who are machmir on that as well. And we mentioned that it's a little bit less practical because even though there is a narrow area which it applies to, many of the cases such as antibiotics, where most antibiotics where it comes up, are usually going to address other issues as well. And especially also Betzirah Fashinoi had there, if you assume like most that against Rav Moshe, if you assume that you can mix it into food, so then that's another side. You could take your many day regimen and mix it up in the food beforehand because you know it's coming. We mentioned that that's a little bit limited in general because you usually don't know you're going to have the meichush, but here you know it's coming up, so this is a situation where you can avail yourself of that. So this is a somewhat controversial heter, but we mentioned also that it draws on, let's say, three possible svaras, depending on who's advocating it, which all draw on different understandings that we've had of this gezeira, either that it's because this is an indication that it's not a meichush, that it's a more serious ongoing condition, or because since it doesn't have immediate effect on you, like Jonathan pointed out, so therefore, as it's Eliezer said, so therefore it's not necessarily going to lead one to do a lach out of panic. The bahol factor will be reduced because you know it's not going to help today. And also the factor that since it was prepared for Erev Shabbos already, you've been doing it for a while, so then that's itself a hecker along the lines of the other hecker that we saw in this category. We mentioned that that's not consistent with the more extreme position, Lakula of the Chaznish, that he apparently would extend such a svar even if you start the plan on that day, even if Shabbos is day one, he would still be Mekel. So that's a little bit less supported in the earlier sources and some of the earlier svaras, as we see. Okay, so we are just about out of time, so we will stop there. God willing, tomorrow we will start Merakid. Tomorrow is a short day, but Merakid is a short malacha, so maybe we'll get it all done tomorrow. If not, maybe we'll carry it one day next week. Don't plan on having a lot of time spent on Merakid. We'll start that tomorrow. Okay, we should have a wonderful day.